Amen. We thank God. We just thank God for all he's doing. Amen. We thank God for his mercy, his kindness. And Bishop did call to check on us to make sure we made it back. He said, make sure he kept all the things in my love. Amen. We thank God for my wife. And we thank God for all of you. These dangerous times that we're living in, spiritually and naturally. Amen. We were speaking to someone earlier this afternoon. He's about 93 years old, and he said, you know, there's something going on in America. He said, something's going on. He said, these sicknesses and things, and he's 93, so he's come through the years. Right? He said, you see stuff happening now that he never have seen in the history as far as he was concerned of mankind. So he said, what is the government or what are people doing? And we said, wow, you must have been doing some homework. You know, he said, the stuff they put in the food is making us all sick. Mm-hmm. You know, we just, these are the times, but how many know God will keep us all? So God is a keeper. And you know, and as I was preparing our message today, you know, I thought about it. I didn't really make the connection. But you know, all of our last probably 5 or 6 weeks, maybe a little longer, have all been dealing with eyesight and focus. I didn't realize that. So, you know, God is trying to get some message across. We dealt with losing our focus. We dealt with looking at the wrong things. And then last week we were dealing with the natural blindness. And then this Sunday, Mark led us to deal with spiritual blindness. So God is trying to get our attention. Amen. As we don't get these messages for nothing. And as I said, I didn't realize that today, everything recently has been dealing with some kind of spiritual scene or losing our focus. And as you look around, you know, people are definitely losing their focus spiritually. Other things are replacing God. Amen. So we just want to make sure that in these last evil days that we'll be able to be in a position to hear the Lord say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Amen. Good and faithful servant. So we're going to go right to our notes. It's a continuation of this past Sunday. I know I probably went faster than I should have, but I figured tonight we'd break it down so much more. But one of the things that we went over and we dealt with more on Sunday is, what are you going through that's blinding you from seeing God? What are we going through? Now, God is all around us. God is here at all times. God speaks to us. I believe when we were in Georgia, I forgot who said it. They said, every prayer that goes up to heaven doesn't stay there. Every prayer that goes to heaven, God sends an answer. Every prayer. So if God sends the answer, how can we always say, I'm still waiting on an answer? He said, every prayer that goes up, God sends an answer. The problem, I believe, that the church has it. The answer that we often get is not the answer we're looking for. So we say, God did not answer my prayer. God answers all of our prayers at all times. Amen. So we're going to ask you just to stand for our scripture reading, which will be coming from 2 Kings, the 6th chapter. We're going to read verses 8 through 18. Actually, 8 through 20, I think. Because I think I added some more. 8 through, I know it says 8 through 18, but I think it's actually 8 through 20, right, of 2 Kings. The 6th chapter. There's so many things in here. I mean, if each one of us were to take a verse, we'd find something more than what we're going to highlight tonight. Amen? But we're going to deal with tonight. We're still dealing with this being blind to see what God wants us to see. Right? So all of us have eyesight. But Jesus said, having eyes, say what? See not. So there has to be a different type of seeing that the Lord was speaking about. Because they could all see naturally. But the concern was, what were they seeing spiritually? And I believe tonight, if we all were to do an inner search, what are we seeing spiritually? Or what things are distracting us so that we cannot see God? Amen? Verse 8 reads, then the king of Syria warred against Israel and took counsel with his servant, saying, In such a place shall be my camp. And the man of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, beware that thou For thither the Syrians are come down. And the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him, and warned him of, and saved him there, himself there, not once nor twice. Therefore the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing. And he called his servants and said unto them, will ye not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? And one of his servants said, none, my lord, O king, but Elijah the prophet that is in Israel, telleth the king of Israel the word that thou speakest in thy bedchamber. And he said, go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him. And it was told him, saying, behold, he is at Dothan. Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host. And they came by night and compassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city both with horses and his servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? And he answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. Can we just say hallelujah? Isn't it wonderful to know who you have along with you? They that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elijah prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes. Now he already saw. Right? So the Lord is not dealing with a natural sin because he already saw the enemy naturally. But Elijah saw something that his servant didn't see. He said, open his eyes that he may. What kind of sin is not a natural sin? But this is a what? A spiritual sin. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountains were full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elijah. And when they came down to him, Elijah prayed unto the Lord and said, smite this people, I pray thee, with blindness. And he smote them with blindness according to the word of Elijah. And Elijah said unto them, this is not the way, neither is this the city. Follow me, and I will bring you to the man whom ye seek. But he led them to Samaria. And it came to pass, when they were come into Samaria, that Elijah said, Lord, open the eyes of these men, that they may see. And the Lord opened their eyes, and they saw, and behold, they were in the midst of Samaria. May the Lord have a blessing. To the reading of his word, you may be seated. Amen. There is so much within this text. When you really read it and you study it, and once again, we're dealing with sin, but tonight our main concern should not be a natural sin, but a spiritual sin. Amen. Now, you know, when you read the story, they knew where Elijah was. They surrounded his house. Right? This is when God was fighting for you. No matter what the enemy has been against you. Amen. They came to him. They know who Elijah is, and they know where his house is. But isn't it something when God puts spiritual blindness on your enemies? They don't realize that you're the one they're looking for. And Elijah said, well, this is not, I am not the man, and this is not the place. Let me lead you to the place. But prior to that, his servant saw naturally. And I'm afraid in church, our problem is we look too much naturally. At circumstances and the events of our lives, and we're not looking spiritually. So that's why it's so important, as Bishop Reese said down in Georgia, he said, saints have to realize they have their place. But their place is never going to be where the pastor is, if the pastor's in tune with God. He said, because when the pastor's in tune, God helps him see further than the saints. He said, any pastor that can't see further than the saints needs to turn into papers. Those were his words exactly. And Ezekiel said he's a watchman on the wall. It makes me mean that Christ should be able to see further. So the servant was not the pastor in that sense. Elijah was. So Elijah could see something that the servant could not see. That's why it's so important. I heard Bishop I gotta remember his name. I give it a little later. Bishop from Ohio, Norman Wagner. Bishop Wagner was teaching at one of the DAW conferences. And he says, saints, there's a huge difference between godly counsel and somebody giving you advice. He said, because when you get godly counsel, that's coming from God. But when somebody gives you advice, that's coming from their life experiences. And you have to be careful with advice because all of us have a different life experience. Amen. So that's why the psalmist said, blessed is the man that taketh not counsel from the who? Ungodly. Well, we're in a day and time where saints are making decisions. Now, I'm not saying everything you do, you have to come and get counsel, right? But when you have critical decisions, it's good to get help. Listen, when we have to make critical decisions, we don't make them a while, we will call Bishop in a heartbeat. And we say, Bishop, pray on this. Critical decision. Well, I'm old, I can make every decision. Yeah, but you can't see what the man of God can see. So it's so important that we get them involved. Because if Israel just went on their own, they would have walked into a trap. But the man of God was able to direct them. So no, nobody should get all involved with all your business. But when you have critical decisions, even if you don't want him to counsel you, or the leadership to counsel you, say, listen, I need you to pray with me on this. Right? Because it's so important. We're living in times where decisions we make can be so critical. They could definitely be for our better or for our worse. So many families are decimated. I mean, completely annihilated. Families not having to do with each other, nothing to do with each other because of bad decisions. So it's important. Get help. Right? And you can't see what the man of God can see. If you can, then the man of God should be in that office. Because he is the watchman on the wall. Who is he watching for? For God. Amen? All right, I just thought I'd put it at no charge. Amen. And when I was down in Georgia, I was telling them, you know, we all know about snowballs in New York, right? You take a small snowball and roll it in the snow, and it gets what? Bigger. Right? A lot of times, what we do with our problems, they're snowballs. We just keep rolling them in the same mess. And what do they get? Bigger. Then when the problem gets too big and we can't handle it, then you come for help. But if you come for help before it gets too big, an ounce of prevention is always better than a pound of cure. All right. Let's go back to our notes. So, what helped Israel avoid the pitfalls and the traps that the enemy had set for them? God was using the man of God to keep them out of trouble. All right. So we thank God for that. So back to our notes. Natural blindness causes us to miss out. Should be on so much of life. We can't see all of the natural beauties that God has created. Natural blindness is a serious disability, but it is nothing in comparison to spiritual blindness. Spiritual sight is a million times more important than natural sight, as we will see as we continue to peruse our text. Spiritual sight is perception as God will have you see it. Spiritual sight is perception referred to as what? God would have us see it. Natural sight, we all see natural. But spiritual sight goes deeper than natural sight. Amen? Spiritual sight is perception as God would have you see. 17:6 addresses the issue of spiritual blindness. The prophet Elijah foreshadows Jesus the prophet, who is the greatest of all the prophets. Moses states this in Deuteronomy 18:15, and Peter confirms it in Acts 3:22, and Stephen in Acts 7:37. Now we know that Elijah was a prophet, but Jesus was the greatest of the prophets. And I really didn't even realize until I started studying this. The lot of Elijah's life foreshadowed Jesus as a savior, as a prophet. And we will see as we go through the text, okay? So Deuteronomy 18:15 reads, the Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me, unto him shall ye hearken. Acts 3:22. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me, him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say Stephen, as he was testifying before the mob that stoned him, said, "This is that Moses, which said unto the children of Israel, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me, him shall ye hear." So Jesus was a Savior, he was also a prophet. Elijah's ministry was remarkable in that God used him to perform miracles that none of the other prophets performed who came before him. We know that Jesus performed greater miracles than those of Elijah's. Elijah's name in Hebrew means God saves. Elijah's ministry existed to demonstrate the saving power of God. Therefore, we're going to read this story of Elijah healing spiritual blindness through the lens of what Jesus accomplished for us. Let me point out a little detail that we probably have overlooked, but a Hebrew person would probably not overlook it. So when you're reading that, it's so important. When we read these scriptures, and you know, the Lord showed me this. When you read the scripture, when the Bible says, "In the beginnings," right? And you read it all throughout the New Testament. How many beginnings were there?
One.
Right? So when if you just read it and don't study, when you go back in the beginning, well, what beginning are you going to go to? Right? So when you're reading in the New Testament, when he says in the beginning, that's going all the way back to Genesis, the first chapter. So keep that in mind. So, and like I said, as you begin to study and you see when the Hebrew reads certain things, they make instant connections that we don't make. Like, we don't know about Yom Kippur, we don't know all the events that take place in Passover, but some of the things, as I said, that Jesus did, when the Jews read it, instantly they go back to Passover. For instance, when it says, when Jesus fed the 5,000, he made them sick. Well, that word, if Jesus was speaking, would not have been the Greek word sick, but it would have been the word to recline. So when a Jew reads it, automatically go, hey, this has to do with the Passover. Alright? And what did he do when he made them sit, or they sit in a reclining position? He took the bread and multiplied. Alright? So there's a lot hidden within the text. If you don't understand it, which like I'm learning, then you miss out on some key points. Alright? So let's keep on here. Therefore, we're going to read this story a lot. Let me point out a little detail that you probably have overlooked, but a Hebrew person probably would not. The overall little detail is found in 2 Kings 6:13. And he said, "Go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him." And it was told him, saying, "Behold, he is in Dothan." Now listen, Dothan is only mentioned two times in the whole scripture. Right? So we're going to go over those two times here. In verse, it says, the spiritual golden nugget is the place Dothan where this story unfolds. Any Jewish person would recognize Dothan as a place made famous by another man of God in deep trouble. The man of God of interest is Joseph. Genesis 37:17 read, and the man said, "They are departed hence, for I heard them say, let us go to Dothan." And Joseph went after his brother and found them in Dothan. Joseph was thrown into a pit and then sold into slavery at Dothan. In that pit, Joseph prayed that God would deliver him. Did God answer his prayers? Yes, he did. Yes, because his brother then intended to do what? Kill him. But then, I believe when Reuben had left, Judah said that, let's not kill him, let's sell him into slavery. Alright? He was sold to a group of slave traders from Egypt. And that's Genesis 37:25-28. And it reads, and they sat down to eat bread, and they lifted up their eyes, and looked, and behold, a company of Israelites came from Gilead, with their camels bearing spicery and balm and myrrh, going to carry it down to Egypt. And Judah said unto his brethren, what profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? Come and let us sell him to the Israelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother in our flesh. And his brother were content. Okay, so that's good. So they sold him into Egypt for 20 pieces of silver. He was falsely accused by Potiphar. Now the thought behind this is he prayed for for God to deliver him, but he didn't realize the events that will take place in his life for his deliverance. He prayed for deliverance. And when you pray for deliverance, like we pray, we think things will first get better. But they did not get better. And though then, the servants saw things, they seemed to get worse. But when you have spiritual insight, you realize even in your troubles, God is with you. Can we say hallelujah? So he was falsely accused by Potiphar and thrown into prison. That's Genesis, by Potiphar's wife, not Potiphar, by Potiphar's wife. That's Genesis 39, 13 through 21. And it came to pass when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and was fled forth, that she called unto the men of her house. Now all this is taking place after he was in the pit and where? Don't think. Alright? Saying, see, he has brought us in Hebrew unto us to mock us. He came in to lie with me, and I cried with a loud voice. Is this true or is this a lie? It's a lie. So you say, well, if God goes with Joseph, and it says it several times in that 39th chapter of Genesis, if God was with Joseph, why would God permit him to go through this when this woman was lying on him? Not unto God, for all of his thoughts was us. We don't understand what God is doing. So if you look at things naturally and be a Joseph, you figure out, what's the use when you look at it naturally? But I believe we can all say Joseph did not look at it naturally. Because the Bible said God was with him. And because he spiritually, he may have not known how God was going to do it. But he knew God was with him and that God was making a way, and God continued to give him favor everywhere he was. Amen? In verse 19 says, it came to pass when his master heard the words of his wife, when she spake unto him, saying, after this manner did thy servant to me, that his wrath was kindled. Now, even in this situation, when you study this, you realize God gave him favor. Because when a servant did something inappropriate like that to a wife, the only thing they did was execute him. Right? So even in this, even though his master is angry, God gives him favor. And I would imagine Potiphar in working with Joseph in his mind, he would say, how can God bless everything that this man is doing? Listen, the Bible says his whole household was blessed. All of his business was blessed. The field was blessed. Potiphar was so blessed, he didn't look at anything that Joseph was doing because he saw that God was with Joseph. So Potiphar shouldn't have executed Joseph, but still, even in this tragedy, God was working things out. Spiritually, you can see. But if we look at our natural minds, like we often do, we're reasoning and say, what was God doing? God knows exactly what he's doing. But if you trust him, how can you really trust him tonight? When you trust him, we don't understand the course. But we know at the end, all things work together for good to them that love God. Amen? So Potiphar should have executed Joseph, but he didn't. Because God was still working through this unfortunate situation in Joseph's behalf. That's when you can see things spiritually. But if you look at it naturally, you say, woe is Joseph. But Joseph continued to do the right thing. And even in this case, the scripture says, the Lord, verse 21 says, even though he was in prison, but the Lord was what? Spiritual insight. Spiritually. Lord, I don't understand naturally everything that's taking place. But when I look through the eyes of faith spiritually, I cannot compromise my faith or my conviction. Joseph remained faithful to God, so the Lord was with Joseph, and what happened? And he showed him mercy and gave him, Lord, thank you. Lord, you know what? We got to just stay with God. Even through what looks like is an unfortunate, tragic event, stay with God. Because God may give you favor when you see it spiritually. When you're not blind spiritually, you'll keep doing the right thing. But when you're blind spiritually, when things don't go well, you'll get mad and take it out on God. We thank God that Joseph didn't do this. Can we say praise the Lord? So he gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. He was forgotten by a butler. Now remember, when Joseph is sold into slavery, he's what? 17 years old. When he's eventually delivered, he's how old? 30. Right? So that's what makes him a type of Christ. Because in order to be a high priest had to first be 30 before they become high priest. That's why they say Joseph is a type of Christ. So for 13 years, Joseph was abused. But God was with him. And if I can encourage us to do anything tonight, don't lose your sight. Don't lose your focus. Amen. Don't compromise because of the things that are happening in your life. Just do the right thing and God will be with you. So now the butler forgets him. And this story tells Genesis 40, 4 through 15 to verse 23 tells how the butler, he interpreted the dream of the butler and the baker. The baker was slain and the butler was released according to the dream, according to the interpretation that Joseph gave, all right? Verse 23 says, yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but he forgot him. But still God was working things out, amen? And spiritually, when we begin to look at stuff spiritually, we'll see, hey, I don't understand what God is doing, but I'm of this persuasion. God is working things out. I'm not going to compromise. I'm not going to turn my back on God. I'm not going to lose my faith, my trust, my confidence. Because God is bringing it out. And listen, whenever we do right for God, God will be with us. I don't care what the world is trying to do. This servant found out they were surrounded. But the praise team sing a song. We're surrounded, but he's surrounded by God. Yeah. Love it, I don't know something. We'll get to it later. This is how I fight my battles. I'm surrounded. Somebody's surrounded. Something like that, right? All we know is God's around us. Amen. I'm rolling in here later because I ain't no lyrics, so I have to get it right. I got them all butchered up. Amen. But I got it. But it says, verse 23, the butler forgot Joseph. Can you imagine being Joseph now? I just helped you just interpret your dream. Got released. How did you forget me when the baker was killed, right? Genesis 41, verse 1 says, and it came to pass at the end of
4 years,
God was still working things out. 2 years later, the butler had forgotten Joseph, but the Lord was beginning to work because Pharaoh had a dream, and the dream troubled Pharaoh. And no one in Egypt can interpret the dream. Verse 9 says, then speak the chief butler unto Pharaoh, saying, I can remember my fault this day. And as he went, they went and sent for Joseph about, brought him out of prison. And Joseph said, a dream is too, it's double in the sense that it's going to happen quickly. You're going to have 7 years of plenty and 7 years of famine. He said, now choose you are the wise and discreet man that you can put over the affairs of Egypt. And Pharaoh looked at him and said, can we find such a wise man in whom is the spirit of the living God? Lord, we thank you. Listen, when you do for God, people will see that. They'll realize that God is in you. So what? He said, listen, I can't find nobody with greater wisdom than someone that has the spirit of God. He says, I'm going to put you in charge. All right? But God was working in Joseph's hardships to get him into a place where he could save himself, his family, and all the people of God. How do we know? Genesis 15 through 20 said, and when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, Joseph will peradventure hate us, and will certainly requite us all the evil which we did unto him. You know how many years this is? This is a long time later. Amen. When people do wrong, they don't forget. I'm just saying, look at this. People do wrong, but listen, I don't know who's done you wrong. They didn't forget. And if they did forget, circumstances happen that God will remind them. So we know this is several years later. Had to be at least 20 plus years later, his brothers remembered how they did him wrong. Right? You don't have to fight your battles. answered unto Joseph, saying, Thy father did command before he died, saying, Is this true? No. They're lying. He never, his father never said this to them. Because he realized, his father realized that Joseph was a righteous man. And you know what the brother's problem is? They forgot the dream he had when he was 17, when their sheep bowed down and did obeisance to him. They forgot the dream when the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars. Amen. God was working it out in his own time. Isn't it great to know that God's appointed time is always perfect timing? When God is working things out, God is never late, and God is never early. God is always on time. So our hearts and eyes to be, Lord, work on me in your appointed time. Because if you work on me in your appointed time, it won't be too late and it won't be too early, but it'll always be on time. Can we say hallelujah? Verse 17 says, So you say unto Joseph, Forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin, for they did unto thee evil. They tell them themselves. Right? People don't forget when they do you wrong. I don't care how old they get. They still remember. They said that they did what? Evil. And now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of thy servants, servant of the God of thy father. And Joseph wept when they spake unto him. When you're carnally, naturally minded, you go into places that a spiritual person don't even go. You deal with some people that they go places. And all you can do is like Joseph, you have to wait. How shall you get there? Yes. Years later, Joseph's like saying, listen, God has blessed us, God has done this. How did you even get there? Joseph couldn't even answer them. He was so broken by their thoughts that all he could do was weep. God, we thank you. And his brethren also went and fell down before his face. And they said, Behold, we be thy servants. And Joseph said unto them, Fear not, for am I in the... Joseph is seeing things spiritually. Those brothers were seeing things naturally. Take off the blinders spiritually so we can see through the perception and to the perspective of God. He said, But as for you, ye thought it evil against me. But God meant it unto good to bring to pass in this day to do what? Save much people alive. That's why Joseph is the type of Christ. He's the type of a Savior. Because God used him to save his people. All right? So now when the Jews hear about Dothan and the prophet being in Dothan, immediately everybody go back to Joseph as the Savior. Because Elijah means God saves. Right? So when you make the connections spiritually, we get there. If God had answered Joseph's prayer for the pit the way Joseph wanted, all of Joseph's family would have perished physically and spiritually. Joseph's pit experience and suffering in Egypt were his preparation to be a vessel unto honor, sanctifying the meat for the master's use, and preparing unto the Lord. And I just wonder, can we spiritually see the stuff we're going through? Instead of always seeing it naturally as doom and gloom, can we see it like this? Everything God has allowed us to go through is preparations for God to use us as a vessel unto honor, sanctify the meat for the master's use, and prepare unto every. I don't understand why that happened. I was talking to a pastor in Georgia, and he said to me and my wife, he said, listen, everything that you all went through, without mentioning it, he said it was preparation for God to get you where you are now. That's when you see things spiritually. That's why when you deal with those that may have wrong, done you wrong, or treated you wrong, you'll be like Joseph. You meant it for evil. Lord, we bless your name. But God meant it for good. Even if it continues, you just have to weep sometimes. Say, how did you even get there? How did your mindset get there? Well, I'm not seeing things through the natural eyes. I'm looking through things through the spiritual eyes. So spiritual. God is surrounding all of us. When you see us, so saints, we got to get out of this natural way of thinking. We got to get out of all this carnal thinking. We got to see that God is preparing us prepare me to be a what? Sanctuary. We need God to prepare us. Then you know what? When God prepares you, then he sanctifies you. Then he sets you apart. Then he said, now, I took you through all of that, not for your demise, but to show you how I can use you mightily. And Joseph was used mightily because Joseph didn't look back. Joseph wasn't the emperor, right? That's a good point. Everybody don't know what the emperor is, but those that were in army know what the emperors are. Emperors always look back. Emperors will keep you bound to the past. Emperors will hold the ministry back because they're talking about if we ain't done this, we could have, should have, would have. Amen. But that's what Paul said, forget it, but let's keep going. All right? Joseph Pitt's spirits prepared him for being a vessel of God. Now, we all know the story from 2 Timothy 2:19. Remember, how many of us are going through stuff tonight?
Amen.
You can all just praise our hands for this. Whatever you're going through, God is preparing you. Right? Even when you're misunderstood, people lie on you, they abuse you. Preparation. You've done something good to somebody else and they turn around and use you and misuse your name. It's preparation. Right? Spiritually. Because listen, if God permitted it, he knew you could handle it. Can we say praise the Lord? But naturally, if you look at it wrong, you just stay in the home, you cry, you're depressed, can't look at yourself or anybody else. Get out of that. Spiritually, see what you're going through is preparation. God is preparing you. God is preparing you and he's sanctifying you because he has a purpose for your life. But you got to see things through the spiritual eyes. Stop looking at war and love like they say, oh, these are the last days. Things are getting so bad. The Bible says, where sin did abound, what?
Grace.
Where sin did abound. Lord, the church needs to stop all this stuff. Seriously. Carly. Oh, things are getting bad. Guess what? God will make a way for us.
Yes,
they're getting worse. Yes. But where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. So we need to start seeing things spiritually. Take the blinders off and see that God is preparing us. Amen. Nevertheless, verse 19 says, nevertheless, the foundation of God standing. Listen, whatever God has purpose, the devil and hell can't change it for you. If you hold to God, stand sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth. How many of us are the Lord? God knows you. He has a purpose. He has direction for your life. So the foundation stand is sure, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house, Lord, we bless your name. They're not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and earth, some to honor and some
to dishonor.
But if a man would purge himself from these, he shall be. And everything that you're going through is God's purging process. God is trying to get some stuff out of you. Remember David at these days, he said, Lord, purge me with hyssop. Wash me, and I shall be quite in this. You know, he said, God cleanse me. I don't want an outward cleansing because if you cleanse me on the outside, my inside is messed up, it's not going to change. But Lord, create within me a clean heart. And renewing what kind of spirit? That's a godly spirit. Amen. David realized in his failure, I failed because I lost the right spirit. So Lord, I need you to give me a new spirit. If a man would purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the masses, use them what?
Prepared
unto every good work. So when the Jews hear Mount Nobly, and all they can do is think about Joseph and all of his hardships and trouble, but in the end, God was glorified. Amen? So the chariots of fire and the angels were there for Joseph, just as they were there for the Elijah and his servant, fighting for them. But they were in a stealth mode. They had their sinuses on. That's how it may be for you sometimes as a believer. But you can be sure that God is always. Can we say always?
Always.
God's not remember that God's hosts always surround us. Yes. Psalm 34, 7 read, the angel of the Lord encamp around about them that what? How many of us fear? That means reverence God. How many of us have seen God greatly? That means his angel all around you.
Yes.
Amen. It's like Sister Brooke, when she was driving down the road. And she saw things naturally for a few minutes there. She thought about her kids and said, oh, it's all over. And she and her car spinning in front of a tractor trailer. But the angels.
Yes.
Oh, thank you for the angels. Thank God for the angels. When we thought it was all over, God just did a shift.
All right.
Remember, Sister Simon said the tree fell down, a big tree fell down in front of him. All he did was call on Jesus, couldn't put on brakes, couldn't do anything. But God. We have a praise. We thank God because blessed is the man that in him. Amen? This is Paul's in Acts 26, 8 through 20. I'm not going to read all that. But this is when Paul gives the account of when the police talked to Agrippa, one of the chief priests, one of them, when they brought him and accusing him for being a spreader of false doctrine. Let's go down to verse 13. It says, "And admitted, O king, I saw the way of light from heaven, above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me, them which journeyed with me, shining round about me, and them which journeyed with me. And when we were falling to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the what?
Hebrew tongue.
Hebrew tongue. Yes. God speaks Hebrew. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the prick. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecuted. All right, so let's get down to verse 17. Okay, he said, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee to do what? Open their eyes and turn them from thee, from darkness to light, and from the
power of Satan unto God.
So spiritually, when you're blind, you are under Satan's control. But Paul said, God sent me to open the eyes of the blind. Them that Satan has blinded, God has sent me, that they may receive forgiveness of sin and an inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. He said, Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the what? Then the question I'd like to ask us tonight, what has God showed you and are you obedient to it? Spiritually, what has God shown you and are you obedient to it? Amen. It's so important for us to use our spiritual critical thinking skills when studying God's words. Elijah's encounter with Benadad and his great army gives us a glimpse into how God is able to remove spiritual blindness from his servants and place it on his servant's enemies, as we can see in 2 Kings 6, 18 through 20. It says, And when they came down to him, Elijah prayed unto the Lord and said, Smite this people, I pray thee, with blindness. And he spoke them with blindness according to the words of Elijah. And Elijah said unto them, This is not the way, neither is this the city. Now, did they know this was the way in the city? Yes. But now God is working in Elijah's behalf. Follow me, and I will bring you to the man whom ye see. But he led them to Samaria. And it came to pass when they were come into Samaria that Elijah said, Lord, open their eyes. Right? Isn't it wonderful to know you can be in touch with a man of God and say, close their eyes, and then open their eyes? You can be another Elijah that prayed that it didn't rain for 3.5 years, and it didn't, and then he prayed that it rained. That's when you know how to get a hold of God. That's not when you're seeing things through your natural perception, but through your spiritual perception. All right? Let's go there, and then we're going to go over Job. I mentioned this, but we go through this. We're almost finished. Job chapter 23, verses 1 through 3. Then we talk about not having spiritual blinders. Right? And the question that we ask is, what things are we going through that's blinding us from seeing God? And I like to add, what things are we going through that is also giving us a deaf ear that we can't hear God? Right? Are our circumstances, are our trials blinding us so we can't see God? Are they so working on so much that our ears, that spiritually we cannot hear God? Amen? So Job says, verse 1, then Job answered and said, Even to this day is my complaint bitter. My stroke is heavier than my groaning. He said, Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. Verse 8 says, Behold, I go forward, but he is not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. Now, the question is, didn't God just finish bragging on Job? So then God was right there. He was there the whole time. But Job's heart hardship is preventing him from seeing God. Job's hardship was preventing him from even hearing from God because he was going through an excruciating situation. But God was right there. So how can you find that God that fills all heaven and earth? Right? So God was not lost. He didn't have to find him. All right? Verse 9. On the left hand way doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hides himself on the right hand. He says, and I
cannot see him.
Well, spiritually, God was there. But what Job was going through was preventing him from even seeing God. But he concluded, he said, but he knoweth the way that I take. When he has tried me, I shall come forth as gold. My foot has held his steps. His way have I kept and not declined. Neither have I gone back from the commandments of his lips. He said, for I have received the words of his mouth more than my God's word is the most important thing. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by some of the word. So we often quote scriptures, but how many of us apply them in our time of need? Listen, you can talk to God and say, God, this is what your word said. Not in an accusatory way, or not in a challenging way, but you can say, God, this is what your word says, and I'm standing on your word. And God will comfort you. Now, remember, God will always answer us according to our way of thinking. All right? He won't always, because Joseph would have never imagined he would have went through this through 13 years of trials that he went through. But God was preparing him. Everything tonight that we're going through, saying God is preparing us if we surrender our will to him. If we stay in God, if we, Job said, I held on to his way. My foot have not declined from following him. If we hold on to God, listen, Job, held on to God. Amen. If I can encourage us to do anything, hold on to God. Amen. Mark 8, 15 through 21. And he charged them, saying, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod. Now, these were his disciples. If anyone should have known what he was saying, they should have known. But they still had on their spiritual blinders. They couldn't perceive spiritually what he was saying. And they reasoned among them, saying, is it is because we have no bread. And when Jesus knew it, he said unto them, why reason ye? Because ye have no bread. Perceive ye not yet, neither understand? Have ye your heart yet hard? Having eyes? You see not. He's talking to who? His disciples. Because he's given them a spiritual message, but they interpreted it naturally. Just like he said, except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no part with me. They were looking at things naturally. And I wonder how many times in church, when God is dealing with us, are we looking at things naturally instead of spiritually? Amen. How many times have we allowed what we go through to take us further away from God than drawing us closer to God? When the scripture says, if we draw nigh to God, he will. Don't you know the devil knows that scripture? So when you go through stuff, you know what he does? He pushes you away from God. Because he knows the scripture. So you got all these people in church that are going through stuff, and the devil just pushes them away. Because if you draw nigh to God, he'll draw nigh to you. And the devil knows that. So what does he do? He pushes you away. And tiny people, I think it's people of I think it's Psalm 73, 11, I think. Pull it up. I know it's somewhere in this area. I'll come back to this in a second. Let me go to 70. I think it's Psalm 73, 11. It's not. I know it's the last verse. No. That's not the last verse. It's in 13. No, keep going. The last verse. Might be 13. It says, but is it good to draw near to God? That if it's not 73 or 78, it's one of the 70s. Hold on. You're going all over the place now. What's the best last verse? Oh. Okay. I said the last verse. I didn't know where it was. Oh, I forgot you had your glasses on. Okay. But it's good for me to do what? what?
Good.
Good to God, near to God. He said, I have put my
trust in the Lord God.
So in your time of need, don't go from God. When you're in trouble, that's when you need to come.
Near to God.
To God. It's good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God that I may declare all thy work. So it's good for us to do what? Draw near to God. And that's why David said, draw nigh to God, and God will. When you're going through something, that's when you need God the most. Amen. Don't allow what you're going through, the devil to play in your mind to keep you home, because he knows if you draw nigh to God, God will draw nigh to you. So many times when people are going through stuff, they stay away from the source of strength. Because faith cometh by and hearing by. So people stay home and say, I don't understand why my faith is dwindling, because you're being disobedient to the scripture. Because we are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves. That's of course. Let's get back to this. All right, that's no charge. That's extra that ain't in the notes. Y'all have to pay me for that. All right? He said, having eyes, you see not. Having ears, hear ye not. And do ye not remember? When I break the five loaves among 5,000, how many baskets full of fragments took ye up? They say unto him, 12. And when the seven among 4,000, how many baskets full of fragments took ye up? And he said, 7. And he said unto them, how is it that you do not understand? Right? Because if we're not careful, we will see things naturally instead of spiritually. So the question that we ask again before we go to our last thing is, what things are you going through that's blinding you from seeing God and deafening you from hearing God? What are we going through that's blinding us from seeing God and deafening us from hearing God? All right, so now let's go. We all know about Balaam. We know that Balak called Balaam to curse Israel, right? But God would not let him go curse Israel, because he said the people are what? Blessed. He said the people are blessed. So how can you curse who God has blessed? So first of all, if a man is a true man of God, he don't curse nobody. Amen? So they have to debate, is he a true prophet or a false prophet? Anybody that curse comes from who? The devil. Because God cannot be tempted with people, neither can be any man. So when you're cursing, that ain't from God. So a true man of God, when they time they said curse, he said, that's the devil's job. He would say, you can't even pay me enough if you're a true man. Alright? But 2 Peter said, he was falling out for the wages of unrighteousness. So let's just go through this quickly. And we're talking about when your circumstances prevent you from seeing God. Amen? And the princes of Moab rose up, and they went unto Balaam, and said, Balaam refuses to come with us. And Balaam said yet again, prince is more and more honorable than they. So how many know when the devil tempts us the first time, he says, oh, I didn't give them full sentence. I'm going to embellish this. I'm going to pretty this up. When I pretty this up, they won't be able to say no. Listen, hold your ground. Amen. Don't fall for his tricks. So Balaam, they sent more honorable princes, and they came to Balaam and said unto him, thus said Balak, the son of Zippor, let nothing, I pray thee, hinder thee from coming unto me. For I will promote thee unto very great honor, and will do whatever thou sayest unto me. Come therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people. And Balaam answered and said unto the servants of Balak, if Balak will give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the words of the Lord my God to do less or more. Now therefore I pray you, tarry ye also here this night, that I may know what the Lord will say unto me more. The question is, what did God already tell them? The people of blessed. What changed? Nothing. Right? But when you're determined to do what you want to do, you always try. You know how people say, well, I prayed and I didn't get the right answer, so I went and prayed again. God gave you the answer, but it wasn't the answer you wanted. Because you wanted what you wanted your way. God already given Balaam the answer. Because the scripture said earlier, when Balaam goes to God, God said, Balaam, first of all, this should be called his attention. words which shall say thee, that shalt thou do. And Balaam rose up in the morning and sell his ass and went with the princes of Moab. And God's anger was kindled because he went with them. Well, if you said, well, God, you told them to go. God said, yeah, if they come and get you. Right? This way he said. He said, if they come and get you, go. Is everybody going to say this?
Yes.
Who didn't get it? All right, let me read it again. Come with me, get it. Listen to what he said. God came unto Balaam at night and said to him, if the men come to call me, rise up and go with them. Right? But it doesn't say that the men came to get him. It said, Balaam sell his ass and went with them, but they never came to get him. So God's anger was kindled. Because he said, you're not supposed to go unless they come and get you. But he got up and went to find them. You know why? Because he wanted the money. Got it? You got it now, bro? remember that scary face that you saw, that you said you saw? He had one of them faces. That's the inside family joke, you know, at the concert. You know? She had one of them faces, like, she had one of them Britney faces, you know? Well, what I'm saying, so God said, listen, if they come get you, go with them. Balaam went, first of all, God had already told him, no. You know, it's like, my wife and I was counseling someone. Actually, they asked us for counsel. They said, well, I'm thinking about marrying this person, but the person is not saved, so I don't think it's a good idea for them to marry. Because they were saved. We said, so why? Because they weren't, he wasn't saved, but she was saved. So the question is, why are we having this meeting? You just told us that you should marry them. Then 2 weeks later, they got married. Then about 4 or 5 months later, or 6 months later, they got a divorce. God had already given her the answer. Right? But instead of listening to God, she did what she wanted to do. And you don't know how many times we had to go rescue her out of that mess. Because she was disobedient. And she told us what she shouldn't do. And we were shocked when she decided that I'm going to marry him anyway. A marriage of convenience, if it's not out of love, would never work. I don't care if you're doing it for money, for whatever reason. If it's not out of love, it won't last. Right? So Balaam was determined to go even though God had already given him an answer. And I know a lot of us know some situations of people that said, hey, God showed me this, but then they turned around and did it anyway. Why? God had already given you an answer. You should just obey him, all right? So God's anger was kindled because he went, and the angel of the Lord stood in the way for an adversary against him. Now he was riding upon his ass, and his 2 servants were with him. And the ass saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand, and the ass turned aside out of the way and went into the field, and Balaam spoke the ass to turn her into the way. Now, Balaam is so determined that he wants to do what he's going to do. Do you know the spiritual blindness he had to have on him? The donkey could see the angel of the Lord. I know my wife, but she don't like me. Yes, you can. He's in you all now. So, because donkeys are never hers. A donkey is a cross between a horse and a mule. Donkeys cannot reproduce. Donkeys can't reproduce. I'm just telling you, a donkey is a cross between a horse and a mule. I was shocked. A donkey cannot reproduce a donkey. Cause her. You gotta ask the Lord on that. Maybe all donkeys are herders. And there's no hymns. That's why they can't reproduce. So let's keep going anyway, because it's all a thing. I said, and when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she crushed herself into the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall, and he spoke her again. And the angel of the Lord went further and stood in a narrow place where there was no way to turn either to the right hand or to the left. And when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she fell down on the Balaam. And Balaam's anger was kindled, and he spoke the donkey with a staff. And the Lord opened the mouth of the donkey, and she said unto Balaam, what have I done unto thee, that thou hast bidden me these? Right about there, right? If his spiritual blinders were off, he should have realized there's a problem here. Because my donkey is talking to me. And honestly, your donkey is talking to you and you don't realize there's a problem. You mean God had to go through all supernatural means just to get your attention. Right? So the essence of the story is we should never get to the point where we go so bad that God has to go through supernatural means to get our attention. Amen? He said three times. So the Lord opened the mouth of the donkey, and she said unto me, what have I done unto thee that thou hast spent me these? And Balaam said unto the donkey, because thou hast mocked me, and I would that were a sword in my hand, for now will I kill thee. And the donkey said unto me, this is a long conversation. Honestly, I'm just showing you, when you are set to do what you want to do, God is speaking, you won't hear. When you're sent to do what you want to do, God will move and be in the way to direct you. You can't see it because you have determined beforehand what you're going to do. Amen? He says, am not I thy donkey, upon which I have ridden ever since I was thine unto this day? Was I ever want to do so unto thee? And he said, this is a lot of conversation. Right? The donkey said, I never wanted to hit you with a sword. Well, how in the world can a donkey hit him with a sword anyway? I'm just saying, this is when it's kind of funny, but it's kind of sad too. When you're so set to do what you want to do, then God has to go through these extraordinary measures to get your attention. Right? Because you are blinded and can't see God because of what you are going through, whether it's self-inflicted or outside inflicted. All right? Then the Lord did what?
Opened the eyes of
Balaam. Well, what eyes are you talking about? Not his natural eyes, but his
spiritual
eyes. And he was able to see the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand, and he bowed down his head and fell flat on his face. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, and we all imagine, you know, if he fell down on his face, he was doing what? Worship. So the angel of the Lord has to be who? The Lord himself. Because the angel is saying, hey, don't worship me. Right? So he's worshiping. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, wherefore hast thou spit thy donkey these three times? Behold, I went out to withstand thee, because thy way is perverse before me. And the donkey saw me and turned from me these three times. Unless she had turned from thee, surely now also I had. Do you realize how serious this situation was? God said, I would have slain thee three times, but your donkey saved you. Because the Lord opened his eyes so we were able to see. So now anybody in their right mind, this will show you, when your heart is determined to do something, even death don't deter you. Even hardship don't deter you. Because the angel of the Lord, who's the Lord himself, said, I'm going to kill you and save your donkey alive. But your donkey saw me and turned out of the way. So now listen. Saints, let's purpose not to do what we want to do. No matter how much we think is going to gratify us. Because it might gratify you because Moses chose not to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a... It might gratify you for a season, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Amen? And Balaam said unto the angel of the Lord, I have that this shows you how when your whole spiritual perception is completely out of whack. He had the presence of mind to confess his sin, but it was not a sin of repentance, but a sin of remorse. How do we know? Because he says, "For I knew not that thou stoodest in the way against me. Now therefore, if it displease thee," the only thing the Lord could have done is kill him. That's the only other course. He said, "I stood in my way to kill. I stood in your way to kill you because your way was perverted. But your donkey saw me and saved you." He confesses his sin. But confession and repentance means you do what?
Turn around.
Turn around. But when you are remorseful, you continue to do the same thing you have done because you've been called. Spiritual blindness. When you're determined to do what you want to do, God says, "I've been in the way trying to redirect your step many a times. But you keep going the wrong direction." You know, and sometimes you look over your life when you knew you were out of God's will and you know the stuff that was happening, and you kept saying, "Hey, God is speaking to me." But then you turn around and did the same thing again and again and again. Right? When you repent, that means to turn. When you repent and turn, God opens your eyes and keeps them open. So God uses them, he prophesies. I'm going to finish. Tell you, pull up Psalm 32 for me. We start at verse 1. He opens his eyes. He helps him to see that he's been in the error of his ways. But he was so determined to do what he wanted to do. Then he tells God, he said, "Hey, if you want me to go back." I guess God looked at him and said, "All I'm going to do, all I can do now is kill you." So well, guess what God did in the 32nd chapter? He killed him. He not hard to kill him because he taught Israel to sin and bring a curse upon themselves. Amen. So Psalm 32:1 says, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven and whose sin is covered." So how does your transgression get forgiven? How does your sin get covered? You have to repent. Balaam did not repent. So his sin was not covered. His transgression was not forgiven. "Blessed is the man in whom the Lord imputed not iniquity, in whom there is." Well, the problem that Balaam had, he didn't God. God means a misrepresentation of the truth. He misrepresented spiritually that he was confessing when he wasn't confessing. So that's what God is, misrepresentation of the truth. All right, now you all can read the rest. I just want you to read that, but you go down around verse 5, he says something else about what confession does for you. All right, so tonight, what things are we going through? And you know, all week I've been asking myself the same question. I don't just speak to you all, I speak to myself. Amen. I was talking to my wife, I talked to my brother, Elder Timothy. I said, "You know what? God's been dealing with me. What things is God trying to show me spiritually that I'm missing?" Right? On the hardship, the trials, the challenges of a church causing me to really miss the mind of God and the direction that God wants us to go to. This is something that I have to internalize for myself, right? Because I'm not going to preach to others and I myself might not be cast away. So it's so important tonight. These messages God has given us, they intended to bring our attention back, our focus back to God. If not, we will be so inundated with the cares of this life that we have missed the mind of God. We have missed the direction that God is trying to take us in. Yes, we will get there eventually. But we will go through unnecessary trials and tests that God never intended because we're not walking in this step. Because the steps of a good man are what? And the scripture says in Psalm 119, I think around verse, I'm giving 20 to 33 or so, he orders our steps through his word. Right? So he doesn't order your steps through Cosmopolitan, through what books do we got up there now? Reader's Digest. That's not how you order our steps. I don't know who they are. I don't know what they got now. I get they probably don't have that kind of stuff now because stuff is so wicked now they got all the other stuff. What is it?
Women's world.
Women's world, men's world, big girl. They got men's world, ladies' world, teenagers' world, kids' world. That's not how we order God order our steps. He ordered our steps which word. Amen. So these are times when we have to do an internal inspection. The Bible said, examine who? Yourself. To see if you're in the faith or not. And these are the times that we're living in. As things get worse, we should get further from God. Amen. As things get bad, as we talked about the other night after preaching, rehearsal, the events and challenges of the day, if you don't keep your spiritual focus, you'll lose your hope. Amen. The Bible said, if our hope is in this world only, then we're all what? Men, not just miserable, but what? Most miserable. Our hope is in Christ. Amen. Do we have any questions, any comments? Any questions, any comments? Amen. And like I said, I didn't realize what Terry said. I don't know when it started, but all of our messages have been about focusing, losing our focus, blind spiritually, having our eyes open. And like I said, my prayer has been, Lord, open my eyes so that I can see. If Elijah prayed for a servant's eyes to be open so he can see that they that be with us, or what? Now the thing is that who was there with Elijah? Just Elijah. But his confidence was in God. Because of God before you. It may look like I'm surrounded. But I'm surrounded by you. This is how I fight my battles. Amen. Alright, let us stand. No comment, no questions. Okay, you need a mic.